On this week's Adam Schefter podcast, we are going to be joined by my friend, my colleague, my mentor, Chris Mortensen, as we discuss everything that has happened in the NFL the last few weeks and everything that might happen in the week to come. We'll look back at the 11 trades that were made over the last month, and we'll discuss some of the free agent moves you might see this week. Without further ado, Chris Mortensen. Mort, it is that time of the year again. We are about to embark upon a week of free agency, and we're going to get to some of that and some of the players who are available and how that impacts the draft in April. But I want to start first looking back, because you could correct if I'm wrong. I don't think we've ever seen in the history of the NFL 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month leading into the start of the new league year where there's been more activity from teams than there has been this year. 11 trades in all, 4 from the Cleveland Browns in a 24-hour stretch last Friday and Saturday. It has never been like this. Why do you think it has been so active before we assess some of those moves that some of those teams made?
Yeah, Adam, I agree with you. It's actually, you know, head spinning, especially, you know, think about this last Friday. Everything that was going on, I know, because your name kept popping up on the screen or in terms of reporting. And I've never seen anything like it. And to answer the question, I really think the salary cap is the answer to that question. I mean, there are other components as to why we're having so many trades. And I would say, by the way, we should note significant trades, not just, you know, minor trades, is the fact that the cap is some teams have so much space that they're compelled to do it, especially when they look at the upcoming or the free agent class, which you would say is an average class.
Correct.
In terms of free agency, and other teams who may need the cap space. So you look at the teams that have cap space, we can make this trade. Other teams saying, we need the cap space, we got to make this trade, and we need draft picks. And then the other part of it is you have some executives that are willing to be aggressive. I can remember Ron Wolf, the Hall of Famer, former Packers general manager, lamenting as he was leaving the league just the fact that there's nobody like Jimmy Johnson or Parcells or, you know, whatever to make. There's only a couple guys out there who are willing to make trades. We now have, it seems like, 6 to 8 front office people who are willing to be very aggressive in the trade market.
And I'll tell you something else. The league has gotten to the point where it seems to never rest. Now, it's always been like that, but it's gotten even worse in recent years, to the point where, I'll give you a few examples. My wife and I are celebrating our 10-year anniversary last summer. We go to Nantucket for the weekend. We're about to celebrate the anniversary. We land in Nantucket, and as soon as we land, the Chiefs fire John Dorsey, their general manager. When does a team fire its GM? June 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th. That never happened in the past. It happened this year. Then my son is getting his license in August for the very first time, and we're about to lease him a car. We're in the dealership picking out the car and signing the paperwork. And as we're in there, Ezekiel Elliott gets suspended for, what was it, 4 or 6 games or 8 games, whatever it was, last summer. And then the Buffalo Bills trade Sammy Watkins to the Rams. And then the Buffalo Bills trade Ronald Darby. And this all happened in the span of about 40 minutes, to the point where even today my wife still reminds me, you were on the phone with SportsCenter and doing radio shows in the midst of the time that Devin's getting his license and we're first leasing him his first car, a monumental moment in his life marred by NFL activity. And then on Friday, I'm getting my daughter braces. She's getting braces for the very first time. She's in the orthodontist chair. They're about to put the brace, and I get a text that the Miami Dolphins are trading Jarvis Landry to the Cleveland Browns. So I'm in the office doing SportsCenter, trying to keep up with the Jarvis Landry trade when the Tyrod Taylor move comes down and the Demaryius Randall move comes down, and it never stops. That's the way the league has come to operate, where you miss your family's milestone moments. The league doesn't give one rat's, you know what, and
right.
Life just keeps on going. It never stops in this league, and it's gotten even more so than ever before.
No, the calendar has totally changed. The clock has changed. And you never know. I mean, it's one reason. Like, when we moved the clocks forward Saturday night or Sunday morning, I figured that you lost the only hour of sleep that you ever get. So normally you sleep an hour, and then you lost that. So I've been concerned for you. during this time. But no, you're right, and you know, it's exciting for. And you're right. No, nobody cares. The NFL certainly doesn't care, but the NFL fan, are actually loves it and intrigued by it. And I find it fascinating, especially as we go into this week with the March Madness beginning, NCAA basketball tournament. Just you know, just to see in terms of just fans, you know, what's going to get their attention. I imagine they'll manage to do both, but certainly the NFL is on a large stage, and by all indications, by the trailers we've seen from the NFL, the sneak previews. It's going to be a pretty wild week going forward, and certainly leading up to the draft.
We saw the Rams make three big trades: Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, and then trading Alec Ogletree. We saw the Eagles trade for Michael Bennett and trade away Torrey Smith. But I want to start with the Cleveland Browns, who in a 24-hour stretch on Friday traded for Jarvis Landry, traded for Tyrod Taylor, traded for Demarius Randle, and traded away Danny Shelton. What stood out to you, Mort, about what the Cleveland Browns did during that time?
Well, John Dorsey, their new general manager, who's got together, you know, let's face it, some significant personnel staff together, that he has been plotting and planning for some time. These things just don't happen with a snap of the finger. I have no doubt that Tyrod Taylor was kind of a target for him, you know, far before the trade happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Danny Shelton trade, believe it or not, is the one that kind of caught me off guard because, you know, here's a guy who, yeah, I know he's a big body guy, he's a nose tackle, he doesn't fit defensive coordinator Greg Williams' defense. But you know what the first thing that crossed my mind when I saw that trade?
Hmm.
As much as it's great to see the Browns active and knowing, you know, I have high regard for John Dorsey, as you do too, is the fact that I think the Patriots just got a chance to win the Super Bowl again because they were missing that big-bodied guy. And Danny Shelton fits them wonderfully. And I just wondered, like, you know, if that was the only trade I questioned there. By the way, on Demarius Randle, we should point this out because most everybody has been talking about, you know, it fills the need at corner. And he's not going to play corner for the Browns. He's going to be a free safety.
Right.
He's going back to his natural spot at free safety. So the Browns will still be in the market for corners, whether it's through the draft and through the free agent or trade market.
Danny Shelton's a good player. It's a player whose name had come up. I believe it came up in various trade talks that the Browns have had with the scheme that they're going to run. Just didn't fit, and he's going to fit in New England's scheme, and New England have been looking for a player like that. How do you think Tyrod Taylor fits into Cleveland, and do you think that impacts what they do in the draft, Morton? I'll give you my thoughts there in a moment after you handle yours.
Well, I thought, Tyrod Taylor is somebody who just makes sense. You know, they're getting a quarterback who's mature, who's well-regarded, who knows how to be a pro, and can be a bridge quarterback like we like. That's the phrase we use right mm-hmm. now for whoever they take with the first pick in the draft. And I am assuming it will be a quarterback with the first pick mm-hmm. and not Saquon Barkley. Now, that's an assumption, but I think that's the command and charge that John Dorsey and his staff have from Jimmy Haslam, the owner. You know, we got to stop making excuses for passing on the quarterback, so come up with a consensus. But Tyrod Taylor, not only – all these quarterbacks coming into the draft have a red flag. You can argue, you know, even if you say Josh Rosen's the one plug-and-play guy, the UCLA quarterback, you can argue that they all need to sit for some portion of a season or a year. And don't forget that Dorsey comes from Green Bay, where Aaron Rodgers sat for how long before he ever played? 3 years. So I think those days are past in terms of sitting 3 years. But Tyrod Taylor also is a guy who can go there and start to get some wins on the board. It may not be 10 wins for the Browns, but as you know, they need to win games for their fan base, for credibility, for starting to create a culture of winning. So I like the Tyrod Taylor signing, and the first thing that came to my mind was, are they preparing the draft Baker Mayfield because of some similarities? And I think that's a logical thought, except we forget that other quarterbacks like Josh Allen and Sam Darnold, I would say especially, are also quarterbacks with more mobility than you imagine.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little bit of a leap to sit there and say, oh, Tyrod Taylor, they're preparing the way for Baker Mayfield. I think that is not to be ruled out, but I don't think it's 100% lock that's the guy they're focusing on.
Well, let me tell you this. After those trades went down and after the Browns got Tyrod Taylor, I had – numerous people reach out to me, not in the football world, but fans of the Browns, fans of the Giants, fans of the Jets, New York football fans, and they said, oh, the Browns traded for Tyrod Taylor. That means that they're now going to take Saquon Barkley at number one, and the Giants led their choice at quarterback at two, or the Giants won't get Barkley, or whatever it was. And let me say this to you. I believe that the moves that the Browns made on Friday and Saturday have zero, zero bearing on what they do in the draft, and I still believe that they're going to take a quarterback with the number one overall pick. As good as Saquon Barkley is, as much of a generational talent as he might be, as much as people love him, and yes, he may have a great NFL career, the Browns have gotten cute on quarterback too many times in the past. They went out and hired John Dorsey and Alonzo Highsmith and Elliott Wolf with the orders that they have to go find a quarterback. You don't bypass a quarterback at one and think, okay, we'll go get the quarterback that we like at four, no matter how good Saquon Barkley is. What you did by acquiring Tyrod Taylor is you solidified that position. You made sure, as you said, Mort, that you have somebody in place now that takes the pressure off the rookie quarterback, that can win games now, that can make them competitive this season, that can give the Cleveland fans what they deserve, which is a winning franchise. They've suffered way too long. They've had way too many losses. But the fact of the matter is, just because they went out and got Tyrod Taylor doesn't change what they do with the first overall pick in the draft. And I still believe the first overall pick in the draft is going to be a quarterback. And if I were the Browns, I'd be looking at a quarterback at one and at four. How about that, Mort? Okay.
Well, I disagree with you on taking a quarterback at one and four, but I absolutely agree with you that I expect them to take the quarterback at number one.
Yep.
I mean, there's even been a thought process out loud about, well, maybe they ought to just go from four to two and have the first two picks in the draft and take their quarterback of choice and Saquon Barkley. But that's not the way they do it. Listen, this is an experienced personnel staff. I think they take a quarterback at one, no question about it. And, oh, by the way, it's a very deep draft for running backs. And let's remember what happened last year where you had backs like Kareem Hunt and Alvin Kamara who end up being third-round gems and arguably three of the top backs in the league. You know, I mean, among the top backs in the league, and they were third-round picks.
How do you think Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, and to a much lesser extent Sam Shields are going to fit into Wade Phillips' defense in L.A.?
Well, they'll fit really well in Wade Phillips' defense. I mean, I have no doubt that's a major factor. You know, it's interesting that dynamics, everybody understands the, some people would say the challenges of trying to coach Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib. But Wade is 70 years old, which would even say, well, how, 70 years old, how is he going to reach these guys? Wade just has a way of connecting with these veteran players. And if you know Wade's personality, and it's not to say he's a softie or anything, but he's just more fungible as a coach, I would say, and relatable as a coach to these guys. And I don't think Aqib Talib is a problem, and obviously earlier in his career, and I know there's been some things that have been red flags. It's Marcus Peters that I think is more intriguing because, that was the MO on him coming in, and that's kind of the way he's acted or behaved. You can say still in the league, and he's still a young player, but my goodness, in terms of skill set, you're talking, they've now, on paper, you think they probably have the best bookend corners. It takes more than two, though, bookend corners in the NFL.
The other team that we've seen be very busy is the Philadelphia Eagles, and they traded for Michael Bennett. They traded away Torrey Smith, and it's funny because someone in the league said, what do you think of that Torrey Smith trade? Torrey Smith for the young cornerback in
Daryl Worley,
exactly. And I said, I don't love the idea of giving away a young cornerback, even if he's not very fast, even if he's somebody that doesn't have the speed to keep up with wide receivers. To me, I love young cornerbacks, and I think the Eagles and their front office do as well, which is why that trade is made. But what were your impressions of
salary cap move? I mean, too, as well as,
$5 million
going to make $5 million, yep. And from the Carolina perspective, in a way, it's basically kind of a concession that we miss Ted Ginn Jr. because, Torrey Smith is not a returner, but that speed, and of course, they like tall receivers for the most part. They had shortened up a little bit, because of Cam Newton. The Eagles pick up a guy, and they basically save $4.5 million on the cap, and And it's a guy they were interested in the draft before. I'm talking about Worley. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you can't have enough corners in this league. He plays off the ball pretty well. And, of course, if you watch the Super Bowl, it wasn't necessarily pretty, but Jim Schwartz's defense gave up, basically let Tom Brady play 7-on-7. So they'll have to make some corrections there. But the Eagles, we know Howie Roseman likes to play the game. I think you have to be careful tampering with the chemistry of the locker room with the Eagles. If you're Howie, I think he has to be conscious of that. But that one certainly made a lot of sense.
All right, Maury, one of the surprises I have for you today is we've got some people who have sent in some voicemails, and one of the questions pertains to the Philadelphia Eagles and Trey Burton.
Hi, this is Brian in Philadelphia, the home of the world champions, Philadelphia Eagles. My question is about the star of the Philly special, Trey Burton. Where do you see him ending up in free agency this year?
So, Moore, what do you think for Brian's question for Trey Burton?
Well, I think it's a loss for the Eagles, but they knew they were going to lose him. I mean, you know, and that's why the Eagles are going to be on the lookout for that's one of their three top needs, tight end, in terms of blocking tight end. For Trey Burton, I'm going to let you answer the question.
Well, I would say that the teams that are interested in tight ends, to me, would be the 49ers, the Eagles, the Jets, the Seahawks, the Bills, the Bears. There are a lot of teams in the tight end market. Now, Trey Burton is a guy who does a lot of things pretty well, but nothing exceptionally well. He's a very good tight end. When we look at the tight end comparisons in recent years, you see some of these tight ends get paid. Jack Doyle last year, I believe, got about $6.5 million at one point in time. You see some of the other tight ends. That seems to be the going rate. I think when Trey Burton's deal gets done, it'll be somewhere in the $6 to $7 million a year range, which seems to be the going rate for tight ends. And I don't have a landing spot because we don't know the landing spot. But by the time somebody's listening to this podcast, he may have a landing spot.
No, so, that's right. And listen, and he is a good player. He's not a great player, but he's a good player. And he has a lot of skills, but one of them is he does provide a measure of blocking and receiving. And, yeah, he's going to get a nice contract.
We talked about the Browns in the number one spot before, Mort. We have a question from a Giants fan on what the team would like to do at number two.
Hey, Adam. It's Matt Goldman, 16-year-old from Westfield, New Jersey. A huge fan. Buckeye fan, sorry about that. But anyways, Giants fan here. And wondering, any rumors about the Giants train down in the draft?
Mort, what do you think to Brian's question?
I haven't heard rumors that they're going to that they could trade down in the draft, but it certainly goes through your mind when you review the scenarios of the fact that there are quarterbacks available. If the Giants decide that they are not going to take a quarterback at two, then it's a matter of, okay, Dave Gettleman, their new general manager, is Saquon Barkley too good to pass up? Yep. Should the Browns take a quarterback, as we expect?
Yep.
But then you look at Gettleman's track record is usually building the interior, builds his teams from the inside out. And does that mean you take a look at Bradley Chubb? Pat Shurmur has said this, and it's been told to me two or three times. The Giants have picked second or third only twice in, 30 years. And the last time they had the second pick in the draft, they took Lawrence Taylor. Last time they had the third pick in the draft was 2 years later when they took Carl Banks, bookend outside linebackers who basically helped deliver Super Bowls to that team and made them contenders. So they want, if they stay at number two, they're going to want somebody that can impact the game. And at the same time, I believe they will get calls from those teams for quarterbacks. So it doesn't answer the question, but I can't say rumors, but I can't say I haven't thought about it either. But I think that basically, they want a game-changing player at number two.
Well, you know, it's funny, Mort, because I got a call last week that the Giants were looking to move back. And I spoke to somebody in the Giants organization about that, and they said, no, that's not true. Now, that doesn't mean that later on the Giants couldn't decide to move back. But right now, there's nothing that is active and nothing to make you think that they're actually going to move back. But I think that when we look at that draft, I think that a lot of those picks are going to be interesting picks. Like, the Colts don't need a quarterback, and so if you're a team that does need a quarterback, depending on how free agency goes this week, whether that's Denver or Arizona or Buffalo or the Jets or whoever, I would think that the Colts spot is going to be a spot that teams would be looking to trade up at number three. As for the Giants at two, right now, no signs that they're going to move back. We both think that Saquon Barkley is going to be there at two one way or another. It'll be interesting to see whether Dave Gettleman is willing to pass on him or address another need. Defensive end, Chubb, that would certainly be an option. Quentin Nelson. They could never have enough offensive linemen. I don't know if they could do that.
I love, by the way, because taking the guard too is always problematic for most people.
But he's so good, right? I mean, that's what everybody says.
Hey, listen, I would love to have the first. I would love to have the first three picks in this draft, or first four picks in this draft, because they're just quality players. If you need a quarterback, you find a quarterback. But when you're talking about the quality of Saquon Barkley and Quentin Nelson and Bradley Chubb, and I'll throw Minka Fitzpatrick in there just because of what a great player he's been at Alabama and his versatility. If you're picking in the top five and maybe even the top seven because of the quarterbacks, top eight, you're going to get a heck of a football player. Now, if the Colts are there at three and Saquon Barkley is there, I see no way the Colts trade out of that spot. Mm. Saquon Barkley has too many traits that I think Chris Ballard, their general manager, values. And so the Giants slot at number two is going to be one of the more intriguing spots as we talk leading into the draft.
We'll be back with more of my conversation with Mort in a moment, but first, I'd like to tell you about Hims. Guys, here's the problem. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. Thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost. Is that hairline slowly starting to move backwards? Any bald spots yet? How will you feel a year from now if it's business as usual up there? I ask you, do you want a bald spot to pop up, or do you want something to do about it first? Do you want your hairline to recede, or do you want something to do about it first? Why do guys turn to weird solutions or do nothing when they can turn to medicine and science? Well, here's the solution for Hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. These are well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. There are no snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. We're talking about prescription solutions backed by science. No waiting room, no awkward doctor visits. Save hours by going to 4hims.com. It's so easy. Answer a few quick questions, and the doctor will review and write you a prescription. And the products are shipped directly to your door. Order now. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or to the pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/AS. That's 4hims.com/AS. 4hims.com/AS. All right, Mort, we're about to head into free agency now. Again, we're taping this Monday morning, 10:45 Eastern, so the moves are going to start flying fast and furious, and by the time some people listen to this, the moves already will have happened. But give me one storyline that you are watching in the week or 2 weeks ahead that will impact free agency. And it could be anything, Mort. A wide-open, wide-ranging question.
Well, we can't ignore the elephant in the room, which is the quarterback market, because they affect there's this domino effect to what goes on with what we believe Kirk Cousins, if he's picked the Vikings or Jets, then it's going to impact, okay, Case Keenum. Does that mean Case Keenum slides to Denver? If Vikings don't get Kirk Cousins, does that mean they circle back around quickly on Case Keenum? You have other quarterbacks markets affected. So I can't ignore the obvious because of the needs at quarterback. Arizona obviously would like to get a veteran quarterback. I mean, making a play for Nick Foles via the trade market, I know that's not free agency because you didn't land Kirk Cousins. They're not. I think it's too pricey for them on both those guys. We'll see. But I think the quarterback and Kirk Cousins, it's obvious, but I think that he's the one that we are going to monitor, and depending on what he does or what he has done, will, I think, move this market quickly on the quarterbacks.
Well, the quarterbacks obviously are the storyline to watch this week. Kirk Cousins, Case Keenum, Sam Bradford, Teddy Bridgewater, AJ McCarron, even Josh McCown. There are teams that have quarterback needs going into free agency: Arizona, Buffalo, Denver, Minnesota, the Jets. It becomes a game of musical chairs to see how it works out. I'm going to give you a storyline to watch that's going to be interesting this week. We're going to see a lot of big-name offensive players. I think Sammy Watkins is going to have a huge, massive deal that is going to surprise people at wide receiver.
Right.
I think Allen Robinson is going to get a lot of interest for a guy coming off a torn ACL at the age of 24. out there. I think the running backs are interesting between Jerick McKinnon, who's going to garner more interest than people think, and Carlos Hyde, who turned out a pretty big deal in San Francisco this season.
Deion Lewis.
And Deion Lewis, the Patriots running back, amongst LeGarrette Blount. There are some big-name running backs. But I'm going to give you the name of a player who, going into this week, when I say this name, a lot of football fans won't know, who I believe, when all is said and done, may turn out to be the highest-paid center in the NFL. And that is Ryan Jensen.
Ryan Jensen.
Of the Baltimore Ravens. Again, we've got a situation, as we alluded to earlier, where there are not a ton of free agents that teams are going to be willing to break the bank on. And you've got a young center here who's desirable around the league at a position of need. And there are a lot of good free agent centers out there. But when you talk to teams, and again, I don't believe there have been numbers exchanged at the time of when we're taping this, but Brandon Linder is the highest paid center in the game right now on average at $10.3 million per year right now for Brandon Linder. Travis Frederick's not far behind at $9.4 million. And I believe that when Ryan Jensen goes and does his deal, maybe he doesn't become the highest paid center in the game. I think he's going to come very close, but he'll be right there in the $9 to $10 to $11 million a year range, where he's got a chance to become the highest paid center. And when that deal gets done, I think a lot of people might say, who's Ryan Jensen? Well, Ryan Jensen may be about to become the highest paid center in the game.
And you know what, Adam? I love the fact that you picked Jensen out, because people need to understand that if you see a good center on the market, or you have, you know, or you have one, in the Ravens' case, you know, not being able to afford to keep him, you're talking about a guy who's a young player. He's going to be 27. He became a starter. He is somebody who's smart. And the center is, we'll tell you, a lot of people will tell you the center, other than the quarterback, may be the smartest player on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, he has an attitude. In other words, he's a very physical, aggressive player. So there's a lot about Ryan Jensen. I'm glad you put that name out there, and that's why you're Adam Schefter.
Well, and another name that was put out there while we're taping this podcast, Jeff Darlington reported, I think what some people sensed was coming, that the Dolphins plan to move on from Ndamukong Suh. Now, that cannot and will not happen until Wednesday after 4, but the fact of the matter is Ndamukong Suh is going to be in play. And that actually, when I was aware of that news over the course of the last couple of weeks, the thought occurred to me, I remember you breaking the story that Suh was going to sign with Miami, as he did, and we are headed into free agency where there's going to be this fury over all these players signing and all this hype and all this hope and all this excitement, because that's what free agency is. That's what I love about it, is that it's like spring training in baseball. Everybody thinks they got a chance. Everybody thinks they got a great player. Everybody thinks they have the hopes to do something special. In this particular case, the fact that the Dolphins are going to be moving on from Suh, and I still think actually there's a very small percent chance that they could wind up trading him, though I do think it will wind up with them releasing him. Are there any lessons that you take out of that, Mort? Look, Ndamukong Suh got a ton of money. You broke the story, played a few years there. They're likely going to be moving on from him. What do you take out of that?
Well, listen, it's more proof that there are certain positions, even though they are dynamic positions. I mean, if we put Aaron Donald on the free agent market, my goodness, what would he make? It'd probably be, you know, more than Suh. But at the same time, you know, what did he bring to the Dolphins that changed them? Now, they went to the playoffs last year, but I really think that teams will say, okay, is this player going to put us over the top? I think you have to be near being a Super Bowl caliber team, or certainly believe that you are, and say, this guy will help put us over the top, as opposed to, we can build around this guy. The other issue is, I think teams have done a lot of due diligence on Suh, and you know, even though Ndamukong is a smart guy, and he's still a heck of a football player, they're going to say, is there something intangible that would not fit the culture of our locker room, or the culture of how we want to prepare, the culture of how we want our off season to go? And oh, by the way, I assume, and you can talk about this, that this would be a guy who would be designated for a June 1st cap because of the cap situation with him. You know, cutting him does not really save them cap money unless
Correct.
He's designated June 1st.
It saves them cash.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not shocked by that particular development, as you know. We know they've been discussing it. And at the same time, if you're another team, you're going to be tempted if you got cap space and he fits what you do. And if you think you've got a defensive line coach who can bring out the best in him, even though you would say that few probably can meet that criteria.
And more, before we go, one final call with one final question on this particular day.
Hi, my name is Brian. I'm from Bowling Green, Ohio, and I've got a big question about the Jets. Considering Robbie Anderson's legal troubles right now and the fact that Chad Hansen and Ardarius Stewart have not shown up, if the Jets don't get Kirk Cousins, do we go after Allen Robinson?
Well,
the Jets have so much money. Adam, I'll let you answer the question from Brian, but I'll tag it, but go ahead.
Well, Moore, I think you hit on the key factor that the Jets have so much money, and I think there's been a conscientious decision within the organization that this offseason they're going to go out and spend that money. We've seen the Jets in offseasons where they've gone crazy and other offseasons where they've sat back and been idle. And I think this is one of those offseasons where they're going to be very, very busy. And I think even if they got Kirk Cousins, and I would say they're on the outside looking in, but I give them a chance. Even if they got Kirk Cousins, they're still going to pursue a wide receiver, whether they get him or not. So whichever quarterback they sign, I think they make a run at a wide receiver. Allen Robinson's one of the two or three best wide receivers in this free agent class. So, yes, I would think that the Jets, at the very least, will explore and make a run at Allen Robinson.
Yeah, and you'll do the medicals and the physicals, but all indications are he's coming off the ACL injury, and he's going to be good. By the way, and we'll put this, again, within time context, because we are taping Monday morning, and that is, if you are going to try to sign Kirk Cousins, and I give the Jets a heck of a fighting chance to pull the upset there. You're going to sit there and say, we may not look like a contender quite yet to you, but when you see what we do in free agency here, you're going to say, the Jets are stronger contenders than the perception. That's, and I believe by saying we're going to get an Allen Robinson and name two or three or four other players, that maybe you can get Kirk Cousins' attention. Of course, you can get Kirk Cousins' attention, too, with what I call stupid money.
Well, more that's exactly what the Cleveland Browns did, by the way. We started with the Browns, went with the Browns. It's exactly what the Browns did on Friday. I believe that was calculated to come out on a Friday to make all those moves because it was sending a message to every free agent that's out there this week that the Cleveland Browns are back, they're open for business, they're serious about winning, and they're going to make an effort to make this team relevant again. They've been irrelevant and pathetic for far too long. And I think that was John Dorsey and Alonzo Highsmith and Elliot Wolf's attempt to change the culture and the mood that surrounds that team, which is why we saw all those moves come down Friday and Saturday before this free agent week begins. And more with that, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today. We hope everybody enjoyed listening today, got some insight, learned some things. It's going to be a great week ahead. Mort, we'll see you here in Bristol. I look forward to getting you here.
All right, get that hour of sleep.
Thanks, Mort.
All right, thanks, Adam.